Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go
on. Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour cosmic cocktail party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, New Mexico to New Hampshire, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Stay listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA, everything.
We thank you for being with us on this fine Thursday. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at Rocket Mortgage Squares. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We've got a good show coming up for you this morning. Steve Tasker is going to join us. We continue going down memory lane with this AFC Championship game because the last time the Bills were in this game was against the Kansas City Chiefs in a very memorable NFL playoff game at a windswept, rainy Rich Stadium in Buffalo in Orchard Park. You had the legend Joe Montana leading the Chiefs to that very elusive AFC title game that had somehow ducked them the entire decade of the 90s, despite all of those great teams they had under Marty Schottenheimer and company. And then it was the Buffalo Bills' fourth and final crack at a Super Bowl. And so after that game, there would be no high highs like clinching the AFC or getting back to the big game. So it marked in some ways the end of that dynasty's peak years. So it's been interesting to go back down memory lane, and we did this yesterday with Tim Grunhard, former Chiefs Pro Bowl center, who was the center on the offensive line at Kansas City that day in Buffalo and was there the entire decade of the 90s. We'll continue with Steve Tasker this morning on the show from the NFL on CBS. And, of course, special teams standout, some say potential Hall of Famer, who was part of the Bills and all of those wonderful 90s teams as well. So we'll talk to Steve Tasker about that 93 AFC title game and so much more, specifically the 2021 AFC Championship game coming up here in hour number three. Also this morning on the show, Philip Rivers, as we announced yesterday on the show, is retiring. So we'll look at the Colts quarterback situation in 20 minutes. And in the fourth hour of the show, I'll discuss my thoughts on Philip Rivers' Hall of Fame candidacy. Also, we'll discuss this crazy first-year wonder in terms of how the NFL continues with all of the coaching hires and new faces, etc. We'll discuss the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston, and Richard Sherman points to the Jets as the possible landing spot. The Nets get Kyrie Irving back last night and immediately play in a double overtime thriller. And the best part of today, our friends at the Winthrop Radio Network, Super Dave and his color analyst and partner on the broadcast, Mike Pacheco, end up delivering a flourish for the ages because of the bet between Mraz and Super Dave, NFL versus college football picks. Mraz beat him, which meant that Super Dave had to use our drops in his game broadcasts during the play-by-play, and he did it yesterday between Winthrop and Presbyterian in a Big South matchup. Not only did Super Dave and his color man Mike weave in one, two, or even just pay off their bet, those guys put on a show for the ages. And every hour here on the show during the headlines with Andrew Bogish, we'll play another one for you. If you ever dreamt of the inane DA show drops being used by professional broadcasters in a professional setting during a major sporting event, and yes, Winthrop Presbyterian does qualify, then this morning is a day for you and a morning that will live forever in mothership lore. It's all coming up, so we are absolutely stacked and happy to be here. And we begin with the college, I should say with the NFL hiring process, which is the coaches coming to a close. Almost all of the NFL vacancies have been filled. The Jaguars hired Urban Meyer. The Jets hired Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator of the Niners. The Falcons hired Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator of the Titans. Chargers hired Brandon Staley, defensive coordinator of the Rams. And the Lions have inked Dan Campbell to a six-year deal. He was an assistant coach with the New Orleans Saints. There are two openings left. The infamous Houston Texans opening, with whatever is happening around Deshaun Watson, and the Eagles, who got a late jump on this by firing Doug Peterson late in the process. So what have we learned about the NFL amongst the head coaching carousel that turned again this year? It is where we begin, your cold open.
Whether it's watching film, whether it's studying the roster, whether it's understanding the salary cap, what we have available to us, the number one pick, the fact that I love Jacksonville, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Florida. My family loves it here. And then, you know, quite honestly, Duval and 904 deserve a chance to go win. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hire people that want to help the Jaguars win.
Any job you take, I mean, we all take those risks, and I'm excited. And, you know, there's always unknown, and but it's constant. You know, I don't want to be the same coach today that I am in 2022 and 2023. We're constant trying to improve and grow in this job.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Those two voices were two of the guys hired. That was Urban Meyer and Arthur Smith. Smith again in Atlanta. Here's what we've learned about the NFL head coaching cycle. Is that right now, it is of value to have never been a head coach before. You look at all of the names that I just cited, and none of them have previous NFL head coaching experience. And only Urban Meyer has significant head coaching experience. What you see is a theme here building, and that is NFL GMs and NFL owners are looking for the young, new, fresh voice. And Urban Meyer might be the biggest name, and he might not be young, but he absolutely is a fresh voice in the NFL. Here's what happened. The NFL GMs and the NFL owners have seen young head coaches, first-time head coaches specifically, have success right away, and they have gone and doubled down on it. So if you are Marvin Lewis, if you are Jim Caldwell, if you are any of those retread coaches that have had experience in the NFL before, need not apply. you're looking at a couple of guys in the NFL that changed around the fortunes of their franchises very quickly and were first-year head coaches, and that has now colored everybody's decision-making around the NFL. Brian Flores in Miami, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. These guys walked in and day one took a losing situation and made them winners. You can put Joe Judge into this category because even though the Giants ended up 6-10, it was obvious how much the Giants changed because of their new head coach. And this is now what all of these owners are chasing. This is what all of these owners are trying to replicate. They don't want the guys that have been around before. They don't want the guys. And you know what? Mike McCarthy didn't help matters. McCarthy was one of the most decorated former coaches that were in these cycles the last 2 years. And his Cowboys didn't look like they benefited at all by having him. At all. They look like they were worse for it. If you're a head coach and you've had head coaching experience before, you are right now being pushed to the borders, pushed to the boundaries. When I look at the hires around the NFL, I also see, again, a heavy reliance on offense. And that's to be expected. You are looking at a heavy reliance on offense when it comes to Arthur Smith. When it comes to hoping that you can get that quarterback to the next level, that next coordinator. But this year, more than others, it's less about offense or defense. It's more about young guy, come in, be the whiz kid. That's how Brandon Staley gets his job. That the Chargers were looking for the Sean McVay of defense. And Staley had 3 years in the NFL and 1 year as a coordinator. The Jets are looking at Robert Saleh not to fix Sam Darnold, but to change the culture of their organization. In Detroit, Dan Campbell doesn't even have a specialty. Dan Campbell's not a coordinator, but Dan Campbell's seen as potentially a leader of a locker room, a culture builder. Urban Meyer admits, I'm not going to run myself ragged in practice. I'm going to hire assistant coaches. And so Urban Meyer is there, whether we believe him or not, to build a culture, but not necessarily be in the muck, the weeds of the X's and O's. This is where this year's coaching cycle took us. The most curious part about all of this is Eric Bieniemy not having a head coaching job, because there were multiple openings. He interviewed for all of them, essentially. He is potentially a first-year head coach, and he does have the offensive background. So that would seem to check a lot of boxes. Why isn't Bieniemy hired? It's beyond me. Does he interview well? His agent says he does, although that's his agent. Is it because that people don't believe that he has control in that offense, that anybody can do it? Well, Doug Peterson got a job out of that offense, and Matt Nagy got a job out of that offense. Is it because Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson kind of showed that Andy Reid assistants might not have all that great of a track record? Maybe. Maybe those two guys hurt Eric Bieniemy. Maybe they just don't believe that Eric Bieniemy has whatever secret sauce is for the rest of these guys. You would hope it's not the color of his skin. But there's plenty of people in the NFL that are suggesting otherwise. But the fact is that if you followed the tea leaves, Bieniemy checks all the boxes that I just mentioned of what's hot right now in the NFL and doesn't have the job. Now, maybe he gets one of the last two remaining. Maybe he gets the Eagles job. Maybe he gets the Texans job. Who knows? But there's a couple of very obvious themes going on. And right now, people want the quick fix that they see coming from the young culture changers that have happened to the NFL the last couple of years. at 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the DA show, the Colts have a quarterback situation as Philip Rivers retires. So what's the best option for Indianapolis? We'll answer that question next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, everybody. 20 minutes past the hour. Remember that you can listen to us in podcast form. Listen to us whenever you want, wherever you want, by downloading the DA show in podcast form, either full episodes, hour by hour, or the best of every single morning. That's available for every episode of the DA show. Just search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. So the Indianapolis Colts are now without a quarterback as Philip Rivers is retiring. Talked about this at the end of yesterday's show after the news broke. I don't believe that Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, although I do believe that he will ultimately be voted in. If I were voting, I would not vote Philip Rivers in. I believe that you need to be compared to the era with your peers. That's the only true way to understand your greatness. Philip Rivers will end up retiring the top five in passing yards and touchdowns, but probably Matt Ryan will as well. And I don't think there's anybody that I'm talking to right now that would be stumping for Matt Ryan when he retires to be a Hall of Famer, right? So when I hear people use those stats, I go, well, you have to take into account the era, and how you do that to compare peers is much more effective. And when I compare peers to Philip Rivers, I know over the course of his career between 2004 to 2021, Brett Favre was better, Kurt Warner was better, Peyton Manning was better, Drew Brees was better, Tom Brady was better, and Aaron Rodgers was better. I know that. That's six. I would argue that Ben Roethlisberger was also better as well. That's seven. Take or leave Eli versus Philip Rivers. I don't care where you fall down on that. You can make an argument for each one of them. Eli has the rings. Rivers had the stats. So I'm totally fine if you want to take Rivers over Eli. But that means that over the course of his career, and I'm not even adding in Patrick Mahomes right now, who will end up surpassing most, if not all, of those guys, and certainly Philip Rivers. But I'm just going to say that Rivers' bulk of his career happens during the course of these guys' careers. That means that Philip Rivers is no better than the eighth best quarterback of his generation at any point in his career. Yeah, I'm not putting in the eighth best of anything into the Hall of Fame, sorry. But the reality is, for the Colts, it doesn't matter. They now need a quarterback. Mraz, let's go down the Indianapolis Colts options here, okay? And I want to see what we think is the best option for Indy. You ready?
Got it. I'm ready.
We start with the easy one, Jacoby Brissett. Brissett has been a starter in the NFL. He has been a starter for the Indianapolis Colts. He's been a backup for the Colts and probably would have been the starter in 2020 had they not signed Rivers in the offseason. Had Rivers retired last year or gone somewhere else, it was going to be Jacoby Brissett. How do we feel about Brissett as the Colts starter full-time?
Well, if you didn't like Brissett last year that you went and got Rivers because he was the quarterback the year before, it seems to me like you probably wouldn't love him to be the starter this year. I think Brissett is the ultimate perfect backup, but I would try to look to upgrade.
Yeah, he's limited. I think there's a ceiling. We've seen the ceiling. I think the Colts were better with Philip Rivers last year than they would have been with Jacoby Brissett. So he is a safe choice. He's a really good backup. If you were in a pinch like the AFC divisional round by the Chiefs, that's a great option to have. If your quarterback goes down for a month, he's a great option to have. I don't trust over the course of 16 games and the playoffs that you're winning a Super Bowl or multiple playoff games with Jacoby Brissett. Internally, youngster Jacob Eason, drafted in the fourth round last year out of Washington, he was the third string quarterback for the Colts. How do we feel about Eason?
They drafted him in the fourth round, so they certainly didn't pick him with a pick that makes him have to become the next starter. But there was a time where Jacob Eason, before combines and everything else, people thought late first, early second could be a starter in the NFL. So really, it's impossible to know unless you've been in that locker room how far Jacob Eason came along under Rivers' tutelage last year.
And you also need to have a full offseason this year, training camps, OTAs, mini camps, some type of preseason to get a sense of whether you can trust Jacob Eason to start week one of the NFL season. My guess is there's no way, because if they were saying they're not even ready to commit to him in any way, shape, or form after this season just ended, I don't think that they can at any point in this offseason be like, yep, we're ready for opening day with Jacob Eason. Right. He's an option at some point, just probably right now, no. Let's go to the free agents. The Indianapolis Star lists Dak Prescott as a potential free agent. I don't believe Dak's going to be available. Do you?
I don't either. Had Dallas totally free-fallen into the top five, that would have been the only caveat. But no, I think Dak's back with Dallas next year.
How about this candidate, Andy Dalton?
You're downgrading. You're downgrading from Phillip Rivers. If you're going with Andy Dalton, to me, just roll back out Jacoby Brissett. We saw enough in Dallas.
Yes. Andy Dalton was incredibly underwhelming. He had a chance at the end of the season to actually make a postseason run, and he couldn't do so. He couldn't deliver. When Dalton was in there, it was more scattershot, erratic, up and down offense. And I realized the offensive line was a problem, major injuries. But at the end of the day, if Dalton can't get you to 7-9 to win the NFC East, then it's impossible for me to believe that somehow he is the solution for a Colts team, which, by the way, isn't just looking for any quarterback to take snaps. They're looking for a quarterback to be competitive because they're good enough at every other position to make the playoffs.
Yep.
This is an interesting one. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay. I mean, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick better than any option we've listed before, although, again, the Dolphins got ahead of the Ryan Fitzpatrick keep him starting train before it derailed in December, but Fitzpatrick showed at spots when he came in for Tua this year, especially in that Raider game, that he still has a little something. I think you're very stable with Ryan Fitzpatrick, so if the option is Ryan Fitzpatrick or anybody you've listed, obviously outside of Dak, I would ride with Fitzpatrick.
It's a boom or bust for Fitzpatrick. He's 38 years old, but we saw some of the Fitzmagic last year with the Dolphins. And you could do worse than Fitzpatrick. I think the fear is you're really good at the offensive line. You run the football well. Your defense is really good. That Fitzpatrick might throw you out of being a contender. That, yeah, he might have the magic, but he might get exposed over the course of 16 weeks. And I think we all agree, you're not winning a Super Bowl with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's the key.
So it's an intriguing option. I'm not sure that's better than Jacoby Brissett, though. I mean, if you're putting those two in front of me, 38-year-old Fitzpatrick versus Brissett, Fitzpatrick can win you a couple of games, but Jacoby's probably going to be far more even in terms of what his effort is going to be week in, week out than Fitzpatrick. Who would you opt for there?
I still go with Fitzpatrick, and I know you're kind of casting a light on the age for Fitzpatrick. To me, the age is irrelevant because if you're going with either of those guys, I think it's a one-year stopgap, see what you have this year with a good team around you. I don't think you look at either of those guys and go, we're good for the next couple of years with them. So I throw off Fitzpatrick's age. I just think that Fitzpatrick provides enough bigger plays in today's NFL than Brissett does, especially if you get into shootouts versus teams like the Ravens or the Chiefs and the big monsters of the AFC that can score.
Another free agent to be, Jameis Winston. What do you think?
Again, I would take Jameis Winston over Fitzpatrick or Brissett also. Now, your point about throwing you out of games and interceptions, all that goes with it, but Jameis seemingly was mature, and we didn't hear much from him under Sean Payton and Drew Brees in New Orleans, and I'm at least minorly intrigued, if minorly intrigued is a word, at any growth, if anything he's been able to do, taking a step back and being around Drew Brees and being around Sean Payton, if that can now revitalize his career.
This is the one name that intrigues me the most, because there's potential for Jameis Winston to be better today than he has been at any point in his career. There is not the potential for Jacoby Brissett to be that better than whatever we've seen. There is no potential for a 38-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick to somehow be better. He is what he is at 38 years old. And once you get to that age, the reason that I'm bringing this up is if your arm talent starts decreasing or eroding, then you can only become worse than your best version. Jameis is the one guy on this list so far that might still have his best football ahead of him. I don't love Jameis, but I think that Jameis will get another starting job somewhere in the NFL. And this could be a good fit because he definitely have a better team around him than anything that he had in Tampa Bay. I'm going to give you two names that I'm just going to barf on. Dwayne Haskins and Mitch Trubisky. I'm assuming that you're just going to toss them overside like I am.
Yes, I am. No thank you to either.
Okay. The Indy star brings up some trade options. Deshaun Watson. I don't think that that's a feasible trade option for the Colts. I think there's other teams that have much better stock options, if you will, to trade. The Colts have the number 21 pick in the draft. I can't see the Colts being able to put together a package for Deshaun Watson. You?
No, and even if the assets were fine, the Texans cannot trade Deshaun Watson inside their own division where they see him twice a year.
Good point. Carson Wentz is another name on this list. He was connected to Frank Reich for many weeks as it appeared that perhaps his Eagles career was coming to an end. But once the Eagles fired Doug Peterson, to me, that was the sign that they're keeping Carson Wentz. I don't think you fire both Doug Peterson and trade Wentz, right?
Right. This would have made the most sense if Doug Peterson was coming back because of the right connection. But now that Peterson's out, it seems like they've tied down the win. So I think this is zero shot.
And then the two veterans, Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford. Both of those guys are upgrades over whatever they have on the roster, Brissett or Eason. But there's a part of me that doesn't believe either one of these franchises cut bait with these two guys. What do you think?
I think the Lions are more likely to just start this thing anew with Dan Campbell. And don't forget, I mean, Dan Campbell also ties in New Orleans. He could bring in Jameis Winston there to Detroit or something like that and get rid of Matt Stafford. But I think Stafford really could benefit from a clean slate. Atlanta, I think it's more about what Matt Ryan wants to do because there's a good chance at four that they do choose a quarterback, whether that's a Zach Wilson or a Trey Lance or somebody like that. And does Matt Ryan want to be Kurt Warner sitting around grooming a guy? Does he look at it as Aaron Rodgers, like, I'm going to hold you off? Or does he see the writing on the wall and want to get out and kind of force his way out from there?
Either one of these guys is a good option for the Colts. I just don't know if either franchise cuts bait with them. But you're right. The Stafford thing is interesting. If the Lions want a fresh slate, fresh start, or the Falcons, either one of these guys is a good option for the Colts because it's also not a one-year stopgap. Mm-hmm. You could then have a Peyton Manning type of end of your career where you have 4 years or so with the Colts. Now, maybe there's not four good years of Matt Ryan, but there's four serviceable years between Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford, or at least two or three. So you don't have to then just do the 1 year stopgap like Phillip Rivers. Stafford's really interesting because I agree Stafford probably needs a clean slate and the Colts provide him the best supporting cast that he would have ever had. And now, this one's interesting. Sam Darnold. The Jets have the number 2 pick in the draft. The Jets could end up drafting one of these bright young quarterbacks. It sounds like most people believe around the Jets they're going to hang on to Sam Darnold. But if the Jets traded Sam Darnold, that's a great move for the Colts, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And look no further than both Jamal Adams, who said he was depressed in New York playing for Adam Gase, and Robbie Anderson with recent quotes this week going to Carolina saying they sucked the love of football out of him. Now, those guys are a safety and a wide receiver who were still really good when they were in New York. Now, picture being the young quarterback being molded there that had all these expectations. I really don't think the book is closed on Sam Darnold being a really good franchise quarterback. I still feel confident. Remember, he's still younger than Joe Burrow is. Like, that is a critical part of this. He's so young. I wonder how much Adam Gase ruined him a bit. And if he got in there with Frank Reich and Indianapolis with a really good offensive line, good run game around him, man, I think that could make a lot of sense.
This is the type of Ryan Tannehill bounce that you could get out of Sam Darnold because they've got a good head coach. They've got a run game to support Darnold. They have a winning culture over there. They've got a really good defense. And they're pretty young. So you can still grow with Sam Darnold, and that can be your guy for the foreseeable future. I think it makes tons of sense. I just don't think the Jets trade him. I think the Jets are probably going, we either trade out of the number two slot to get a lot of picks, or we use that number two pick on a non-quarterback. But I think that they're going to hang on to Sam Darnold. But if I'm a Colts fan, I'm going, we pry Sam Darnold out of the Jets, then that's the biggest win we could have had at quarterback.
Yep. Agreed.
I didn't bring up Cam Newton because I just don't think Cam Newton has any value on the open market as a free agent. I don't know how you come out of 2020 and think that Cam Newton can be your franchise guy. So those are some of the options for the Indianapolis Colts. They drafted number 21, so probably any of those top-tier quarterbacks are gone. Kyle Trask might be a guy towards the end of the first round that they might be able to get out of Florida. But again, I don't know if you're trusting the number 21 pick in the draft to be your opening day starting quarterback when you've got a team that has been to the playoffs and you feel like can get back there for the foreseeable future. The Colts are going to need to look for a QB after Philip Rivers retires. Standing by with our headlines is our resident kind sir, and he's going to deliver the goods today because Super Dave and his partner for the Winthrop Eagles broadcasts brought us magic last night. Mr. Andrew Bogish, good morning.
DA, good morning. We'll begin, though, with some pro poops. Kyrie Irving was back last night, so the Nets finally had him, James Harden, and Kevin Durant together. They combined for 96 points in Cleveland, but zero stops late on Cavs guard Colin Sexton.
Sexton steps back, three, there's another one! Colin Sexton, an absolutely incredible display of long-range shooting. Cavs by 11.
That is Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Sexton hit four threes, scored 15 points in the second overtime alone, getting Cleveland a 147-135 victory. He finished with 42. Kyrie had 37 in 48 minutes after missing seven for personal reasons, then quarantine, and then conditioning. The Clippers handled the Kings 115-96. The Warriors beat up the Spurs 121-99. Phoenix winning in Houston 109-103. Miami won in Toronto 111-102. And the Sixers fought off the Celtics 117-109. Joel Embiid 42 points and 10 boards.
He's been
the
a
NBA
beast,
has,
huh? Yeah. He's totally turned it to a different level this season.
Yeah, and a quick update question, Bogish. Are we calling it in Toronto when they play in Tampa? Is that just like, are we just pretending?
Oh, no, that was my fault. That was just
No, I wasn't meaning to criticize you. I actually was trying to get inside the mind of an Andrew Bogish.
No, there was nothing inside my mind. Just had the score written down and reflexively wrote in Toronto. But yes, the game was in Tampa still. The NBA has postponed tomorrow's Wizards-Blazers game as Washington recovers from its COVID outbreak. It is their sixth game in a row postponed, but they are now allowed to practice. Patrick Mahomes practiced yesterday in KC. He took all of the snaps in a light workout. The Chiefs listing him officially as a limited participant because that's all they're allowed to do while he is in concussion protocol. Antonio Brown sat out Bucks practice yesterday because of that knee injury he suffered Sunday in New Orleans. Now, college hoops. Number 8, Houston took care of Tulsa, 86-59. And number 10, Wisconsin beat Northwestern, 68-52. But who cares about that when our boys at Winthrop are going for 15-0 against Presbyterian?
Winthrop feeling good, doing well. Up 12-7 with 13:27 to go in the first half.
And they kept feeling good, eventually beating Presbyterian 78-66. You can't be 15-0 or win 20 straight dating back to last season without, guys, a diverse roster.
He told you he was from Turkey, but
lived in Turkey for a year.
The next time you talk to him, can you find out if it was Ankara, the capital, or maybe Istanbul? Where in Turkey did he live?
Well, the bigger question is, do they have good burgers?
Right. 6:17 to go first down. 28-18. Winthrop has the lead. It's Corbin Telford.
And then where does the salt go?
That's a question we've asked ourselves. Where does the salt go? No one
That's
knows.
That's ridiculous. That doesn't fit that conversation at all.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. Talk about just crowbarring the DA show drops in there. You're talking about a kid that came from Turkey, and the question from Mike Pacheco, the color analyst, is, yeah, but do they have good burgers? That doesn't have anything to do with basketball or playing in Turkey. And then Mike, out of nowhere, says, yeah, but where does the salt go?
I mean... that's why that broadcast is great, because the deadpan ability of Friedman to pivot and just go, okay, and here we go, down the court. Like, that is what makes that so special. It's so great. It was a flex. They didn't care.
Do they have good burgers in Turkey? Nobody's ever asked that question in the history of Western civilization. Oh. Nobody's ever said, yeah, I'm going to Turkey. Now? Oh, do they have good burgers in Turkey?
And we're going to play all the calls coming up, but this call happened after we already heard a couple. When they were going down that conversation, I'm sitting there going in real time, he's going to ask them what language they speak there, isn't he? And they were going to drop.
Oh, that would have been a good one, too.
Brazilian, Egyptian thing. Oh, man. The wedge good burgers in there. I never saw it coming.
I got to tell you.
The question is, do they have good burgers?
Right.
Yeah. Dave's like, yeah, right. Yeah. Everybody always asks whether they have good burgers in Turkey.
Right.
So it's amazing. I thought that maybe they work in two of them, three of them. It was a game for them to see if they could get through all of them. I mean, it was like they were driving 100 miles an hour into the wall. There was no turning back. They put on a show. It was like Mark McGwire in the 1999 Home Run Derby. I'm just putting on a freaking show for everybody.
I just want to know, like, they have to answer to some boss somewhere, right? Was there a boss
I don't know.
Somewhere?
We don't.
I guess.
Fair point.
I just would love to know whoever the boss would be. You know, Dave, a word? Why did you go good burgers here? What are you talking about?
Winthrop is 15-0, and we're looking to once again claim the Big South and get to the NCAA tournament. Why did you guys bring up burgers, turkey, and where the salt goes at that 12-minute mark?
And then where does the salt go?
And then where does the salt go?
Is it possible this is not that different from the normal broadcast for them, that they're normally insane, yeah, and there's just a little crazy yesterday, so nobody actually paid attention to it?
That's that. That is absolutely it. That this was not too off-brand for Dave and Mike on Winthrop Eagles basketball, especially for a 5 o'clock in the afternoon tip. I said to Dave yesterday, why are you guys playing at 5? He goes, I don't know. We just play whenever they roll the balls out, whenever they turn on the lights. Yeah. Like in the middle of COVID, we just play whenever they say to play. I mean, a 5 o'clock Wednesday afternoon tip, how that makes sense, I have no idea. But,
well, because everyone's doing it. There was games yesterday at 1, 2 o'clock every afternoon because they don't care about anybody showing up. It's only on TV. So they put them on earlier in the day, I guess, to space games out maybe. They're kind of standalone games. But, I mean, my Fordham Rams played a game at 1 o'clock yesterday. There's been games at 2. They're all over the place because no one cares about fans being in the building anymore.
I would have thought that because of television contracts, these networks would want games in prime time. But I guess that makes sense. What you're saying is if ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+, whatever, Fox Sports 1, if they could have staggered starts throughout the day in standalone windows, then they'll do it.
Yeah. I also think, too, that a lot of places, depending on geography, are just traveling day of. Mm. So you play in the afternoon early, you're done, you drive back to your campus, it's not super late at night, and the kids are theoretically getting back up on time early the next morning for class and whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. Way easier to play a game at 5 o'clock, be done by 7 or 7:30, and be able to drive back instead of finishing up at 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
There are some other news other than crazy super Dave and Mike Pacheco. Michael Brantley now said to be re-signing with the Astros, 2 years and $32 million. For a few hours yesterday, we thought he was following George Springer to Toronto. And on ice, the Golden Knights beat the Coyotes 5-2. The Canucks sell less to the Canadiens 6-5 in a shootout to end a three-game skid. DA, now back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. Throughout the morning with AB's updates, we'll keep playing more of the drops from Super Dave and Mike Pacheco on the Winthrop basketball broadcast, which just got better and better and more zanier and zanier as the game went on. Wait till you hear the other calls. He's like a mad scientist. It's incredible what happened. So Tom Brady, first year quarterback, Tampa Bay, in the NFC Championship game. There is a list of really interesting names that did this. First year quarterbacking into a championship game. We'll give you the rest of that list coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
I think my butt getting big.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch the DA show every single morning at watchda.com, as well as on Twitch. Check out the simulcast and all of our smiling faces each and every morning. The Wizard of WatchDA.com, Andrew Kaplan, pulling levers, pressing buttons, and getting the simulcast on the air and singing live in Technicolor every single morning, the DA show simulcast. We have Tom Brady back in a championship game. An amazing 14th time in his NFL career. 14th time. 7 at home, 7 on the road. He is looking for his 10th appearance in a Super Bowl, which is just bonkers. But getting to a championship game, your first season as starter, is not all that rare. Let me give you some of the names that have done this over the course of NFL history, dating back to the beginning of the Super Bowl era. Earl Morrill, first year with the 72 Dolphins, helps lead them to the AFC Championship game for an injured Bob Greasy. 1977, new starting quarterback Craig Morton in Denver leads the Broncos all the way to the Super Bowl, where they lose to the Cowboys. 1991, remember the name Eric Kramer in Detroit? He was the QB for the Lions the last time the Lions won a playoff game. This was 1991. The Lions beat a young Cowboys squad before they turned into a dynasty in the divisional round. It would end up in the NFC Championship game where they would lose to Washington at RFK. Can you believe once upon a time the Lions were in the NFC Championship game? 93, Joe Montana. We'll talk about this game coming up here on the show. Montana's first year in Kansas City leads the Chiefs on a Cinderella run through the playoffs, which ends in Buffalo in the AFC title game. In 98, old man Vinny Testaverde, quarterback of the New York Jets in 98, goes to the AFC Championship game with the Jets, where they lose at Mile High to the Broncos. In 2000, Trent Dilfer. People may forget that Dilfer's only season in Baltimore with the Ravens was the one where he won a Super Bowl. And even during that year, he was not the presumed starter. Tony Banks was, but Banks stunk. Brian Billick pulled the hook on Banks, put in Dilfer, and they went on that run late regular season and through the playoffs. Dilfer had 1 year as the starter in Baltimore, and he goes to the AFC Championship game and then the Super Bowl where they win it. In 03, Jake Delhomme's first year as a starter, the Carolina Panthers go all the way to the Super Bowl where they lose to the Patriots. Drew Brees' first year as a starter, and the Saints are in the NFC Championship game. Brett Favre's first year as a starter in Minnesota. The Vikings end up at the NFC Championship game, and where they lose to Drew Brees of the Saints on that terrible interception by Favre at the Superdome. Nick Foles in 2017 wasn't quite the starter, obviously. Carson Wentz was, but becomes the starter in December and leads his team to a Super Bowl. Case Keenum in Minnesota ends up at the NFC Championship game where he loses to Nick Foles, and Ryan Tannehill last season. Mraz, which of those names surprises you most when you hear it? Like, wow, that guy's first year, they made it all the way to the championship game?
Well, you know, it's funny. It doesn't surprise me in real time, DA, because it's so fresh, but I think it will surprise me 10 years from now is actually Tannehill last year, if that makes any sense.
Okay, why?
Because Ryan Tannehill, known for so much of a bust, I think that we just accept it in real time right now. And I think in hindsight, when we look back on the Titans, if they never make a Super Bowl, we're always going to remember, oh yeah, the Derrick Henry Titans ran through. And we're going to look back and remember, oh wait, Ryan Tannehill just arrived? That was his first year to look back? So I know that's not the present time one to do, but Ryan Tannehill making an AFC title game to the Titans already to me seems a little astonishing, knowing where we came from in Miami.
Okay, gotcha. I think the name that pops out is Case Keenum to me. We'll never see Case Keenum in another championship game. And the idea that in year number one, he brought the Vikings there. And also, I had forgotten that Jake Delhomme's first year ended in a Super Bowl. It just kind of feels like he was there for a while. And so that was one of the years. But that was the first year for him in Carolina as the starter.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.